Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're coming off an extraordinary year in 2020 for any number of different reasons, and we're going to talk a little bit about how it played out from an investment perspective, and then we'll take a look at what we can expect for this year, given vaccines are coming out and so on and so forth. And we got Philip Peterson with us today. Philip's a regular contributor to the show, and he's the chief investment strategist with Manulife Investment Management. Philip, welcome back, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, and Happy New Year's, guys.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. So let's start with 2020. You know, I made the comment that it was an extraordinary year. I don't mean to imply that it was extraordinary in all positive ways. Clearly, we had lots of things going on in 2020. And I want to maybe just do a bit of a wrap-up, get your sense of where you started 2020, how it finished, and then we'll go from there.
Well, certainly. I think, one of the interesting things about 2020 is if you were Rip Van Winkle and you invested at the beginning of the year, and you fell asleep for the next 365 days and woke up and all you did was look at your statement, you would have thought it was a pretty good year. Equities were up. Bonds were up. Gold was up. It was a decent year from that perspective. Then you open the newspaper and you read everything that happened, quite a different year. And this is what I think surprised a lot of people. How do you square those two things? And from our perspective, we started 2020. We can go back and pull up the tapes on this, but we started 2020 a little bit more hesitant towards the market. Mm-hmm. We were seeing an earnings environment that really didn't support where valuation was. So we saw weaker earnings growth, higher valuation, and we were more defensive. Now, that defensive position served us well as we finished out the first quarter, seeing a bear market from February 19th to March 23rd because of COVID. We didn't predict that, nor did we anticipate that. Our reasoning for being a little bit more defensive was completely aside or exclusive of COVID.
Right.
So COVID comes along and you have to throw all of your assumptions out the window and start over. And what we saw was just an unbelievable response by governments around the world and central banks around the world to maintain liquidity and maintain, I would say, the economic income as best they could in the face of very strict lockdowns. And so this is where we have to kind of square that circle, if you will, saying, okay, well, how can the economy be so poor and the stock market do so well? And it's because they're not exactly the same thing.
Right.
So the stock market doesn't factor in the 22 million Americans that lost their jobs. The stock market doesn't factor in the lockdowns. What the stock market focuses on are the earnings potential of companies. And so we saw a sharp drop in earnings at the end of Q1, through the second quarter, even the third quarter. But when you look forward, now we're starting to see, we started to see in the back half of the year, a very, very sharp snapback, a recovery. And that's what the market was pricing in. We had an environment of very, very low interest rates, a lot of money sloshing around, and companies that were getting back to business, and business was booming. So that's why the market finished off as strong as it did, and we take that into 2021.
Philip, when you look at 2020, I think with every recession, you're going to have a have and a have not group of people. And I think the market, let's use any type of index, you and I talk about the S&P 500 as a barometer, probably not as accurate of a barometer of what really happened, because there were tons of companies that went bankrupt because of this pandemic. There were tons of companies who couldn't do well, such as energy, sometimes even the financials. But when you start looking at what did well, it was your technology, your stay-at-home stocks, these massive valuations for companies that really made no revenue, had a great idea and had a lot of people using their service or product, but got huge valuations. Is that going to continue? Do you see that as normal, as a tale of two different stories of the have and the have not? Or was this a phenomenon given that it's COVID?
This, I would argue that this was a social phenomenon brought on by the COVID lockdowns. And we would attribute this to Robin Hood and its merry men. Robin Hood being the trading platform in the United States, and the merry men being all those day traders out there that see the markets go up, see their portfolios go up and say, this is easy. This is, you know, I'm a genius. Look at my portfolio. But it's not real in some of those instances. So there is a bifurcation in the market where you had a number of IPOs come to market that had a great idea, but they're not necessarily making money. But they saw the valuation of their companies go up dramatically. And then there's other companies that were already listed. One well-known car company that is valued at has a market cap greater than the nine largest auto companies out there, and yet it only produces 500,000 cars. You guys can guess which one that is.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? No, absolutely not. I'm told, well, but you just don't understand what they do. No, I understand what they do. They make cars, and they don't make a lot of cars, but somehow the market is pricing in that they're going to control the entire auto sector. So yes, there are, you know, I'd call it have or have nots, call it, you know, the unicorns versus reality, we can call it whatever we want. We wouldn't call it fundamental investing, though, because fundamental investing is based around a reasonable valuation for what a company delivers in terms of profits. A lot of these companies, as you said, Basil, don't have profits. They have excessive valuation. Is that going to last? It never does. Eventually, these things come back down to earth. It tends to be quite ugly. But the good news is it's not the whole market. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be something similar to what we saw, say, in 2000. Maybe not to the extreme of that bear market. But what in 2000 we saw was a real bifurcation where the stocks that were dramatically overvalued saw a pretty healthy correction or bear market. And then you had a whole whack of the market that did well because it never saw that excessive valuation. And I could point to examples in the current marketplace that would exhibit reasonable valuation with improving fundamentals through this year. The banks, for example, I think are a great example of that, that didn't see the run up in the rally, but they're going to do better this year than they did last year, and they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So there was another big story last year that I don't think is getting enough press, and your comments on this would be valuable. You talked about this unemployment issue, right? We saw unemployment skyrocket as we shut down economies. But this, to my understanding and belief, would be the first recession that we've ever gone through where incomes went up through a recession. And so fiscal policy, I don't think people fully understood what the benefit to certainly the markets were of fiscal policy maintaining incomes while we had higher unemployment. Because traditionally in a recession, when unemployment goes higher, people lose wages and they can't spend. So your comments on that.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very good observation to the environment in 2020 and why this recession was very different from others. Most recessions come about because of some excess, you know, excess in housing market, excess in the tech sector, whatever it might be, excess in industrials. Mm-hmm. This one was a forced stop where the governments, to get control of COVID, had to put a stop on economic activity. And so in order to do that, they had to backfill it, right? It wasn't a company overextending itself and being irresponsible and then eventually having to lay off its staff. This was the government saying, you can no longer go to work, but if we're telling you you can't go to work, here's what we're going to do for you. So you're right. We saw incomes actually go up. We saw the savings rate just skyrocket because mm-hmm. people had excess income because you can't go and spend it. We did not see the drop in incomes like we saw in 2008-09. We did see a drop in consumption because we just can't behave quite the same way that we would if we were completely open. And that is what I would say kept this recession, what ultimately will be proven to be the shortest recession in history. And we think it was 3 months. Now, traditionally, a recession is 2 quarters or 6 months. This one, because of the circumstances, very, very short. This is the other thing, though. The lead up to the following question would be, okay, so we have this unemployment. Yes, people are being, we're bridging the gap from an income perspective, but how do the markets keep going up? The area of unemployment that we've seen is very different from 2008-2009. 2008-2009, it was Wall Street that were shedding jobs. The banks were shedding thousands of jobs, tens mm-hmm. of thousands of jobs. The housing market was shedding jobs. And it was the service sector you know, the restaurants and the bars and so on that were chugging along like nothing changed, nothing had happened. In this case, you've probably heard this is the catchphrase of 2020, the K-shaped recovery, mm-hmm. that says, oh, you know, Wall Street or white collar did very well, whereas the service sector has suffered because the bars are closed, the restaurants are closed, the movie theaters are closed, and so on. True. But yeah, and that's perhaps why this has been a milder economic shock, because the higher income earners are the higher consumers, to be honest with you, and they're the ones that tend to drive more of the consumption-based economy.
Well, there's some really important conclusions to 2020 and in some of the things you've said. We're going to talk about that after the break. That helps us understand how you should be positioned in 2021 going forward. But let's defer that till after the break, Faisal. We've got an upcoming seminar because regardless of what's happening in the economy, we got to be nimble to both profit and protect and support that and protect that lifestyle in retirement.
Yeah, we're going to show you how you protect your lifestyle throughout your retirement on Tuesday, January 19th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, Philip mentioned the K recovery, and that meant that certain industries did better than others. Are you interested in how to position your portfolio to take advantage of what's going to happen in 2021? Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.